Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have another wonderful guest with us today. Christopher Childs out of New Braunfels, Texas, currently owns four apartment complexes, 288 units, I believe, is the total, and we're glad to have him on the show today. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Hey, Del. Thank you very much.
So, according to your bio here, a friend drug you to one of our meetings. How did that happen? Why did you let him do that?
Yeah, no. So it was actually the best friend of my father. They grew up and went to college together, fraternity brothers. So, you know, well-respected within our family. He mentioned it to me. So I went and did an initial class and then signed up for the two-day pretty shortly thereafter.
Well, that was after 14 years, or in total, you've worked 14 years in the oil field business. Tell us about what made you decide, after having such a good, you know, work background, career, I guess is another way to say it, to look into something completely different. What was the stimulus for you?
Sure. Well, I mean, there was a couple things. Number one is I always knew I wanted more out of life than just, you know, corporate America full time. It always treated me very well in the oil gas industry. Salary was very nice, but like I said, I wanted to do more. And ultimately, whenever I took the two-day class, it opened my eyes and it brought a whole new perspective of, instead of just corporate America, saving in 401k, and then at the time, retiring late in life, there was another path. And I saw that and it just clicked and the light bulb went off to go a different route, and I went all in.
So how did your dad's friend come about the knowledge that you had this interest? I'm just curious. Seems like a very strange inroad. In other words, you know, to talk to your father's friend about something like this.
Yeah, so he was involved in single family. At the time, I had purchased a single family property with a couple buddies of mine. Didn't really know what I was doing, but just had an interest in real estate. And through talking with my father and his friend, they kind of shared that interest that I had in single family. He, at the time, I believe, owned 16 single family houses. So he said, hey, I'm part of this group, Lifestyles. I think you should go check them out. They're great with their education. And so I'm so happy and thankful that he did.
Excellent. Let's bring the rest of the family into this. I know you're married. You have a child. How long ago was that? And was she around when you were making this decision?
Yeah, so I went into the two-day class by myself. My wife was pregnant at the time, so she did not attend. And so I got all excited after the two-day class. I went and talked to her. We made the decision to join. And she has been fully supportive the entire time. I'm so thankful to have a supportive wife through this whole process.
Well, that's always a good thing when two people can work in unison together and have the same belief system. What's her background?
So she was in oil and gas as well. We actually met at the first company that she was an intern. So there was some office romance there. But she worked for Noble Energy in Houston, and she actually has just recently stepped away from her job as well.
Because of being pregnant?
No, that was back in 2016, so our son is now five.
Oh, okay. So I didn't put those two numbers together. So you went to the two-day, and you got excited. Let's talk about the two-day for a second. I always like to ask people, what were the aha moments in that two-day? I know there's usually one or two or three of them for everybody, but it's something where that light bulb just goes off so hard, you go, man, this is it. This is what I needed to know.
No, that is a great question and very easy for me to answer, because there was one significant one, and I believe it was within the first 5 minutes of sitting in that class, and you were teaching in this one. Back in 2016, and you drew a chart and showed what majority of people do as far as working in corporate America until they're 65, 70, saving in your 401k when you retire, you just hope that you have enough money before you die as it dwindles down. And that light bulb went off, and it is something that I took to heart. And I, you know, was engaged from there on out throughout the rest of the course. And I have pretty much gone all in with my education, networking, and taking immediate action to move forward.
So as you went through it, your friend had introduced you to single family. You had touched single family yourself, but you came out of the blocks doing multifamily. Explain to us what flipped you from one to the other over this two-day experience.
Well, so I saw the benefits of single family and what that can do, but ultimately I knew I wanted to get myself educated on multifamily. It looked like a path for more extreme wealth. And so as soon as I joined, I wanted to educate myself through all of the processes. So I did 4 single family houses. I invested passively in 3 multifamily deals. And the reason I chose to do passive initially was for education for myself. I wanted to see how others were doing it, structuring deals, the communication that was sent out, and try to learn as much as I could. And then after that, started the education for myself of becoming a lead investor.
Well, that's a good variety, and you got a little taste of everything. Let's talk about your psychological approach, how it developed as you went down the road of 4 houses and 3 passive deals. There had to be something that was brewing inside of you. In other words, aha, I like this over here. Aha, I like this over here. I don't like this, so forth. You had to come to some conclusion to part paths with the single family. Can you share that with us?
Sure, yeah. So single family was nice. It was providing, you know, nice monthly cash flow. But ultimately, as far as being in the passive deals and seeing the type of returns after 2 or 3 years, whenever these were starting to turn over with either refinances or sales, and the average return per year that I was receiving was blowing it out of the water. And so from that perspective, I just knew that, you know, my personal path was going to be multifamily.
Okay. And how long were you a member before you decided to become a lead?
So I joined in 2016, and then in 2017, I became both Lifestyles Unlimited Lead Certified, and I also, both my wife and I, became IROP Certified through the Houston Apartment Association in 2017.
So you were living in Houston at that time, and then you later moved to New Brunswick?
That's correct. Yeah, so we've been in Houston until just about 4 months ago. Fast forward, after all of our purchases of our properties, the most 2 recent acquisitions have been in Central Texas. So it's been our goal always to get out in this area. Absolutely love it. Plus, I'm, you know, very bullish on the Central Texas market. So to be closer to current and future properties.
Yeah, New Brunswick's a beautiful place, too.
It really is.
Were you in Jerry Turner's deal out there in New Brunswick by chance as a passive?
No, unfortunately, I'm not. I know which one it is. It's a beautiful property, great location. I would love to be a pro now.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. It's right there on the park grounds or whatever you call it there. Let's talk about what you did to get ready to be a lead. What was the process you took?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, a big part of it was education. I wanted to prepare myself, and that started with the passive investment. So that was number one. Outside of that, it was working on all the education, the documentation that Lifestyles provides, working with a mentor through Lifestyles, meeting with them personally, also many times on the phone, discussing what type of properties, what I'd be looking for, becoming certified through IROP, starting going to all of the networking events that Lifestyles provides. At the time, I still had a full-time job, so I was having to take off my vacation time to go to the events. So, you know, on the Fridays, the road trips, I was trying to build my passive list, just preparing for that moment when I was ready to take the jump of my first deal.
Okay, and then you, at the same time, were you also looking for a property while you were going through the educational process?
I was, yes. And I started searching. After doing all the education in 2017, I started the process of searching in 2018, and then ultimately did close on my first property in 2018.
All right, so let's talk about, real briefly, before we go to break here, what was it about this first property that attracted you? What was the buy-in that you said, man, this is it, this is the one I'm going for?
It was a smaller market located in Victoria, Texas. I honestly didn't have that much experience with Victoria, but I drove out there, absolutely fell in love with it, and I knew when I drove up that I was going to buy this one. It was due to the location. The location was absolutely fantastic, settled right in the heart of Victoria. It was across from the high school football stadium, so a lot of drive-by traffic. There was a large church next door and the fire department next door. So just an absolutely fantastic location. I saw the opportunity of it was a nice property, but had a lot of room for improvement with upgrades and renovations.
Sounds great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Christopher Childs and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate. And that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Christopher Childs out of New Brunswick, Texas. He's recently moved there from Houston. He currently is operating four apartment complexes that he is the lead investor in, a total of 288 units. And we're discussing the first one he did, which was in Victoria, Texas, 58-unit apartment. Christopher, as we come back here, let's talk about what you did when you took this thing over. What kind of changes did you make? What kind of increases in rents did you get? In other words, what was the plan? How did that turn out?
Yeah, so this one was a lot of fun, actually. It was a great property, like I had mentioned earlier, fantastic location. It just had years of a little bit worn down, so it had some room for improvement. So I had a pretty heavy rehab budget that I went in on this one. It was about $290K, and redid all of the fencing on the property, repainted the property. There was an open area in the center that I added a playground set. I did all new pool furniture. I called it the Walmart special with how it looked. It was the old plastic furniture that was kind of falling apart. We put really nice, pretty colored green furniture throughout, and I added an outdoor kitchen and pergola offset of the pool. So a lot of cool and positive changes that we did on site. Oh, and a dog park. I'm a huge dog lover, and there was an extra spot that was in between us and the fire department, so I added a little dog park.
Now, your bio said that there was a psychological change in your whole approach when you went through this first deal. It's something about you and what you were about in this business change. Can you share that with everybody?
I sure will. And it was just that same as when I did the two-day, that light bulb, the aha moment. Because whenever I initially joined, I was very money motivated, which most people are. And I'm not going to lie, that is still a huge motivation. But there was something that happened as I had gone into the first property. This is my first experience, first time to go through it. And after we did all these improvements, added these amenities, I went back on site for a site visit, was walking the grounds, and the playground set that I had added in the center section there, there were multiple kids from our residents that were there playing. They were laughing, enjoying themselves, having a great time. And it was just such a sense of satisfaction that I had personally. That is something that I did. I came in and added that. That was a vision of mine to add it in, make it a more family community feel. And right then and there, I knew that there was a bigger purpose and a bigger reason for doing this. And I actually have fallen in love with the process, with taking over a property and improving all the amenities on site, adding amenities, and just the overall community feel of the property. And it's something I've taken to all four properties that I've done.
When you look at that situation and it affects you that way psychologically, obviously that's going to affect your long-term plan. How did it affect your long-term plan as you went forward? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's something that, you know, in corporate America, there's little wins and things that happen, but it's never to this level. So I knew that this is something that I wanted to do moving forward with. And, you know, I want to try to purchase as many properties, make these changes and impact as many lives as I can. And it'll be a small touch, but, you know, whatever number I can get to and however many I can impact is my long-term goal.
Gotcha. What kind of financial changes did you see when you did, you know, you've done the physical changes, you've made it a better place to live, you've become a touchy-feely guy and fell in love with your clientele, okay, we've got all that. What did you do for your monetarily driven partners?
Yeah, so this property had a huge value increase. There was 14 townhouse units that faced the front of the property. We did large renovations in those, and I saw $250 to $300 rental increases, along with adding reserve parking fees, reducing the expenses where I could, just raising rents across the board. We saw a heavy valuation increase, and I am actually currently going through a refinance right now that is going to be a very nice return to the investors.
So let's play with some numbers. What did you pay for the complex?
So a purchase of 2018, the purchase price was $2.9
million. Okay. And what are you having it appraised at now that you're trying to refinance it?
The refinance, I'm actually in the middle of it right now. We've already received the appraisal, and the appraisal came back at $5,350,000.
Ooh, man. That's quite nice. Quite nice.
Yes.
So how much did you have to come out of pocket for you and your partners in 2018 to buy it?
In 2018, the total raise was $1.3 million.
All right, so we're going to play with some numbers here. Just people, they can't believe these numbers. It just doesn't make any sense to them. But in 2018, you bought it for 2.9. It's now worth 5.3. So let's do a little basic subtraction here. That's a 2 million. 9 from 13 would be 4. Makes it a 4. $2,400,000 gain on a $1,300,000 raise investment. So we're talking about over 100% return in 2 years. I mean,
yes,
that's
sir.
150, 160. I don't even have my calculator out, but that's a massive return in just a 2 year period of time. Partner's pretty happy about that?
I believe so. Yeah, this has been a home run deal. It's my first one. I love this property and just absolutely fantastic return.
What kind of cash flow do you get out of it?
This one has been consistently, I mean, it was 7%. When COVID hit, it dropped a little bit, but I had projected originally not to do any distributions for a full year. I started 6 months earlier just with how great the property was doing, and it's pretty much been cash flowing, just minus a few months there, you know, in the impact of COVID.
What kind of cash flow? 7% you said, or that was what you predicted?
7% is the goal that we try to hit.
Okay. Let's then discuss you deciding to go look for another property. At what point did that happen?
So almost right away. I fell in love with the process, the improvements that were made. This was September of 2018, and I purchased my second property in April of 2019.
Okay. And what would you like about that one?
So that one, it was a small little town, but same thing, just absolutely fantastic location. It was off one of the main roads that goes through the entire town. And also, it was right across from the high school. So a lot of drive-by traffic. And then similar situation, it was a nice property, but had a lot of room for improvement by going in and adding some rehab dollars to it.
How did you manage a 36-unit property? Because that's a rather small property. I mean, that's at the very bottom edge of being able to have staff.
That one was tough. It's very close to my house, though. It's just a little bit less than an hour from my house there in Houston. And I made a lot of sacrifices, honestly. Initially, when I started this process, I had a full-time job. I had a newborn at the house, and we didn't do any vacations. I took all of my vacation time to go to the properties for site visits, to meet people out there. So there was a lot of sacrifices that were done, but it's been well worth it in the end.
Okay. So that was more difficult. I just want people to realize that, you know, when you have a small property like that, you're don't have enough payroll to have a full-time manager and full-time maintenance guy. So how did you work that? Did you have part-time people, or did you have one full-time person and the rest was contract labor? How did you work your payroll on this 36-unit property?
For that one, I got assistance from a property management company. There was no leasing office, so I had no full-time property manager, but did have a full-time maintenance that was floating between a few other properties. So I did have some help and support out there.
Gotcha. So they paired it up with other properties. All right. Again, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Christopher and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Christopher Childs out of New Brunswick, Texas. And Christopher currently is operating 4 apartment complexes, 288 units. We've already discussed the first two. We'll pick up on the third property. Now, this is the larger one. You've made a shift to over 100 units on your next property. Tell us about this one. And was this the one that took you out to where you could retire?
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, it was difficult to do the 36 units, the more units with the leasing office and full-time staff. So, after getting involved in 36 units, I knew I wanted to go larger. And so I immediately began looking, and I really wanted to kind of start focusing and shifting my view to Central Texas. And I had an opportunity of one that came across. It was in San Marcos, Texas, which is in between San Antonio and Austin, closer to Austin. And it's 104 units, and went out there and toured it, fell in love with it. Similar type situation, although this one already had a nice few amenities in place, but definitely saw some room to add in some other additional amenities there as well.
Okay. And what kind of financial opportunity? Did you increase the rents on this one, or tell us what you did?
Yeah, so this one, go back to your question about, so I was able to close on this one in 2019, and I did step away from my job in August of 2020. So it did fulfill and give me the opportunity to move on and focus on this full time. On this one, same thing. We were able to increase rent, did not get hit as big on taxes, which was a huge savings on the expenses side from what we originally projected. And similar situation have seen just through the increases that I've been able to add to the net operating income, along with the market appreciation with how hot Central Texas is and Austin and kind of carrying over. There's been a pretty large valuation increase here as well.
Okay. So let's talk numbers. What'd you pay for it? And what year did you buy it now?
This was July of 2019, so it's been kind of just right at a little over 2 years here.
Okay, and what'd you pay for it?
The purchase price was $8.45 million.
All right. And at this point now, how much have you changed that?
Still to be determined, but something between the 12 to 14 million range is a very safe assessment of valuation. I know that's pretty large, but.
Okay, so let's talk about how much you raised the rents on these, and what did you do specifically to be able to raise rents?
So the current amenities on site, they had a basketball court, there was a huge dog area, there was a soccer field, but it was kind of worn down. The basketball court was kind of breaking apart. The dog park was grass overflowing it. The soccer field was super nice turf, but it was ripped down the center, which is a huge tripping hazard. So I went in there and I fixed all of those up, added new turf, redid the basketball court, made the dog park nice, added dog park amenities inside there. We also added a playground set. I did an outdoor stone grill covered pergola area as well, the pool area. The interiors, did all new interiors with vinyl plank flooring, added new resurfacing on the countertops, fixed up the cabinets, made the interiors really pop and look nice, and I've seen significant adds, upwards of $200 plus on the rental increases there.
Now, is this a family-type place? I'm not catching on to why you'd have soccer courts and basketball courts.
It actually is. So it's a mile away from the university. So it's in a fantastic location right off of I-35. But I typically try to maintain under 10% of students in this property. It is more family-oriented.
Okay.
Workforce type.
The reason I bring that up is my 8,000 years of doing this, I found that we had to avoid things like basketball courts and soccer courts simply because they would attract every kid in the neighborhood to want to come play on our courts. And that probably wouldn't be that much of a problem until the gangs start hanging out there and trying to manipulate and control the courts. And then you got the gangbangers and the thugs and the drugs being done right there on your place. How do you keep from your place being used by non-residents, or do you?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it was a level of concern for me as well, plus just any kind of noise complaints and factors. But this is a gated community, so that helps keep out anybody from driving through. And then also, both the basketball court and the soccer field are directly across in straight view from our leasing office. So our staff there, the property manager and maintenance, are very good about keeping an eye and making sure that it's used by our residents and there's no outsiders coming into the property.
Okay. Well, hope that stands up in the future and works for you. What about interior amenity changes? You know, what have you specialized in as far as interior changes?
Yeah, so what I've seen, the biggest increase is changing to full black appliances from the white. That's the prevalent in this market. Also, the vinyl plank flooring, a nice gray vinyl plank flooring, a repainting of the unit, and then, like I mentioned, with the cabinets, fixing the cabinet doors, repainting them white, and then also resurfacing all the countertops and adding backsplash has been really good for this market.
Okay. So if you were to rate your properties, the three we've talked about so far as A, B, C, and D, how would you rate your properties?
What do you mean? How would we rate them in what regard?
As far as classification, like a Class A or a Class B or a Class C, et cetera.
I'd say they were all C's and high C's.
Okay. So working class type people?
Right. That's correct.
All right. So that's three of the four. And we've got 5 minutes left in the segment, so I guess that gives us enough time to go ahead and talk about the fourth one. Tell us about the fourth property, and you spread out even further. I mean, you just keep going farther and farther apart. Tell us about this next deal.
Yeah, so the next deal, this was my most recent acquisition. It closed in March of this year. I absolutely love this one. This is one that I've been working for, it seemed like 6 to 8 months, and finally was able to get under contract. It's called Colony Uptown in San Antonio, Texas. It's right next to the big mall there, North Star Mall. It's this fantastic location surrounded by other properties. There's tons of businesses and restaurants, and it's 90 units, and just finished the rehab process. So this one, I had a huge dream, huge vision of things that I was going to change, and I was really bummed out when I didn't think I was going to get it, and so fortunate when I did to actually put my plans and visions into place.
And tell us about the vision. What were you going to do with it?
So this was a really nice property. They were running it well, but I just saw some room for improvement and things that we could add on. So the main things I focused on, there were not a whole lot of amenities. So the pool right next to the leasing office was one of the main factors. It was this kind of the wall surrounding it was painted this old kind of red, almost maroon color. It was just really dull looking. I came in and did a super bright blue, repainted it everywhere. We added all new pool furniture that was an aqua color. So that whole pool area just pops now. I completely remodeled the entire leasing office, the new desk, repainted it, new flooring, all new furniture. And then one of the cool main things that I did was there was 3 laundry facilities on site, which is kind of crazy for just 90 units. So I saw an opportunity there, and we worked it out and had one of the laundry facilities upgraded to a fitness center and added a couple ellipticals, a yoga station, stretching station, and some wall work, and it just looks absolutely fantastic, and the residents appreciate it. It's a great marketing tool for new residents coming in.
Do they use it?
It is being utilized, yes.
That's one of those things that ever since I was in the health club business, we've always had these things we call lost leaders that really, like we had swimming pools, You'd have 5,000 people work out in your gym a day, 4 people go in the swimming pool. So why'd you have a swimming pool? Well, because when you toured, the 100 people you toured a day, they'd all go, wow, swimming pool. That'd be so nice to jump in after I work out. They all say they like the swimming pool, the sauna, the steam. Nobody ever used them. And so yeah. I've always felt that same way about a gym. And I've got gyms in my apartment, so don't take this the wrong way. But they just sit there. 1 or 2 people will come use them. But when you tour, they go, oh, there's a gym. The guy goes, yeah, that's it. Being that close to where I live, that's just easier than go to the gym. It's free. I'll start working out. And they never do.
I would say that's a great comparison, and it is huge for a marketing tool. For both the pictures on the website and when we're touring residents, it is a good marketing tool to bring potential residents in.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so we've got these 4 properties that have done you right, and you're happily working away. Why do you keep the 36 unit, just out of curiosity?
So that one's actually for sale. It's close to closing. I'm a few weeks away from closing. That is one that I wanted to sell. We're going to get a little gain out of that one, and I just wanted to get rid of the small units. My goal forward is larger units from here on out.
That makes all the sense. Now, I feel good about what you're doing there, because once you get to that point where you've got the breakthrough and you no longer have to have your job, those little properties need to go. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Christopher Childs and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Christopher Childs out of New Brunswick, Texas, currently operating 4 apartment complexes, getting ready to sell one of those, small one, and that's right now they're added up to about 288 units. Let's talk, Christopher, about a couple of different things. Let's get more into the emotional side of it. First question I always like to ask is, what did your friends at work say when you said, I'm quitting my job? Young guy, you're a very young guy, even though you've been in the business for a while. You got to be a little too young to go back and tell the old guys in the oil and gas industry you're retiring, huh?
Right. Yeah, that was funny. So I actually retired from oil and gas when I was 36 years old and told my boss, and his face looked like he was so shocked. When I started telling some of my other coworkers, they all said, how did you do it? And I told them what I was doing, and they were just in shock and said, you're making that much to offset your salary that you're making here? Because I was making 6 figures in the oil and gas industry. And I said, yeah. And the projected path is much more, too. So it was a very easy decision for me at the time.
Wow. That's always fun. How about the family? What did they think?
Yeah, so the family and friends, it was a little tough going through it because I had a full-time job. I had a newborn at house. I was trying to build this business on the side. So there was a lot of time and sacrifice that was put into it. But then, I was able to step away. I think that was a big shock moment for everybody as well of, oh, wow, like he's really doing this and he's doing it in a good way and has been able to step away and leave his job. And I think it gained some interest from some of the family that have been reaching out to me and asking. And, I'm also fortunate enough that my family is involved with lifestyle as well. My mom and stepdad are members, and they're invested in multiple passive deals. My father is a member, and he's in over 10 plus passive deals, and he is also the key principal on all of my deals as well. So it's been really nice to be able to kind of bring the family in the fold.
Well, that's pretty good buy-in on your side. What about on the wife's side? What did her family think when you taken and quitting your job with that baby there? I mean, my God.
Yes. I think they were in shock because, you know, I've never really gotten a whole lot of questions, and I just think people understood it. But since I've done it now, you know, from my wife's family and just other family members have just overall shown an additional interest, and they're kind of asking some questions and looking to potentially get involved and maybe do some investment.
So let's go down the litany of questions, right? So, Christopher, what about insurance?
Yeah, insurance is always one of the big ones because, you know, that's what we had in our corporate America jobs. When I stepped away, my wife was still at her job, so I rolled over to hers, and we're actually in the process right now of looking for insurance. But, you know, the insurance is going to be a little bit more, but the way I look at it is, you know, I have the potential to do and make so much more money and to offset that insurance expense that's coming in by going this route than I would have if I had just stayed stuck in the rut of corporate America.
What about your 401k? I mean, how do you survive without that?
Oh, man, I love that one because when I say I went all in, I literally mean I went all in. So I had my 401k that was available from my previous employment. I took every bit of it out. And, you know, because whenever I started, that's what I was told was to save in my 401k. I was saving 6 to 10% of my funds in there. So over the 14 years, I did accrue pretty, you know, good 401k value. But I took all of that money out, and that's how I got started into my investment. As soon as I stepped away from my job, I took it all out. I had people telling me I was crazy. What are you doing? But I wouldn't change it for the world right now. I have put it all to active passive investments, my lead investments, and it's generating income for me that I don't have to sit around and wait for until I'm 58 and a half years old.
Next question I'm going to ask you is I think exacerbated by the situation that you moved your family, but in most groups, most people I meet in lifestyles, especially if they're younger, you quit your job, you lose most of your friends because they can't hang out with you. I do everything during the week because I don't like crowds on the weekend, and then we hide in the weekends when everybody else is out. So you have to have a group of wealthy friends with free time to be able to have friends is what I found. Now, you not only have lost the people you worked with as friends, but you moved. So are you finding that you're very akin to the people at Lifestyles? Do you have kindred spirits with them, and they have any kind of friendships build up?
I tell you what, I have generated and created multiple friendships since joining like-minded individuals. One of my best friends today that I met through Lifestyles. He and I have actually partnered up on business ventures, and he owns his own private jet, and we flew it last weekend and went up and did the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky. So it's opened up a whole new world of possibilities, great friendships, great mentorship as well.
Yeah, I've always thought that it was interesting that you start hanging out with just a little bit different group of people and then a lot different group over a period of time because the people can't hang with you. So, interesting. So, we got one child, cute little boy. I love the picture you have of him there in little matching suits. Thanks. But what's the future for the family? You gonna have any more kids?
Well, there actually is an update. My wife is pregnant right now, and we are expecting our second son in February of 2022. So, we are thrilled and excited.
Congratulations. So, you've got it all.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Really, that's the way to make it work, man. Get it all while you're young. Most people, you know, they can't have it all. They can have one side or the other, maybe have a nice family, but you have to work like a dog to have it, and you're getting both sides at the same time and at a young age. And I'll tell you something that you don't know when you're young. Old sucks. So enjoy that youth, man. Chase those kids around. Right now, my dog chases me around, and I can't keep up. So just you gotta enjoy that youth, enjoy your kids and your wife and everything. Lovely family you have. Thank you for coming on today. I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you. You going to be at the next expo in March?
I'm going to try. We're going to have a one-month-old son, so I'm going to do my – I haven't missed an expo since I've joined, so I'm hopeful that I will not, but it just kind of depends on the family situation.
Oh, man, come on. You know they have baby strollers that look like hotels. Just stick the kid in the stroller. Bring it along. Sure. We'll get it a T-shirt. Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it, Chris, for sharing your story.
I want to thank you so much for everything you've done for my family and our future. You've changed my life since I came in on that 2 day in 2016. So, I can only show so much appreciation. So thank you so much for everything you've done.
Man, thank you. Remember all, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.